America, and to all of our listeners all over the world, you're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I'm your host, the most Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Chris Logi. And hey, he's back, Phil. Filippo D'Anolfo, he's also here once again.
Hey, guys.
Yeah. Teresa, unfortunately, will not be joining us, and, well, we're kind of going to tell you why in just a little bit, but let's just say some stuff happened not too far from where she lives that kind of knocked out the power for her and her family, and she's having to deal with some stuff. But fortunately, we three are here, and good, too, because this is going to be the last show for the year. By the time we talk to you again, it will be the very first day of 2022, meaning that we get to basically bid adieu to this absolute dog dick of a year. Because, wow.
We thought 2020 was a shit show, but geez.
Oh, yeah, we couldn't wait to get rid of 2020. Yeah. And we were so happy. It's like, there's going to be a vaccine soon, and, you know, we're going to finally be on the other side of this damn pandemic, and, you know, there's going to be a new administration and all this other stuff, and then, well, wouldn't you know it. But, yeah, we'll be talking about all that, but, yeah, so this is for December 18th, 2021. Like I said, last show of the year. Right now, the weather kind of sucks, at least where I'm living, because we are getting nothing but rain for the last few days.
Yeah.
We also occasionally get shit like tornado warnings and other shit like that, which has been just so much fun. Yeah, it's also been going in between cold to not quite cold, but just chilly enough that you regret that you wore shorts that morning. Yeah. Oh, yeah, and I caught the flu, and that knocked me off my ass for a couple of days. So, between the last show we did, which is Friday, between that show and Sunday, when we did day zero, I either contracted or whatever sickness that had been incubating inside of me finally decided to show itself. And I basically ended up developing sinusitis, lots of mucus, lots of sneezing and wheezing, and 102 degree fever. So there was also that as well. And I was thinking, oh God, please tell me I didn't contract frickin' Omicron or whatever. And fortunately, no, I did not, because I still had my sense of smell and taste. So it was kind of rough going for a little bit of this week. But I'm over it, pretty much all of it, mostly, except for, you know, I'm still kind of mucusy. And occasionally having those little spasms in your chest area that suddenly makes you feel like you're about to cough your lungs out. But, yeah, other than that, I'm completely fine. You know what sucks about having a cold or flu when you're, like, 35? Because it's not the coughs or fever. No, it's the sneezes that give you frickin' whiplash. That's always fun. But, other than that, well, obviously being the end of the year, or at least getting close to the end of the year, the world decided to throw us a few curveballs, including a celebrity death, some weird shit happening in just about everywhere, Mother Nature being a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
But fortunately, we got some good stuff to talk about as well. And of course, we also got a couple of trailers. And apparently, one of the dudes who is the voice character actor at Bob's Burgers is been fired for attending the Capitol insurrection. We'll be getting to all that and more on this week's episode of Let's Weekend. So, to get us started, as always, we'll start with what we've been doing this week. Phil, what have you been doing this week?
So this week I've been continuing with the Wheel of Time. The TV show came out a few weeks back. We're on the 7th episode of the season, so second to last. I've been watching that. Not quite what I was expecting, to be brutally honest. Yeah, some of the changes they made me go, huh? And others were like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. And then you have others that are like completely changing the whole context of certain scenes and rearranging them. And it's like, it really kind of feels like they're having to cram everything they can into those 8 episodes. And it's kind of a bit rough, but hopefully it'll find its legs in season 2 because they already greenlit that one. So yeah, not quite the adaptation I was hoping for, but it's actually been done fairly well with a couple of exceptions. There's one episode in particular that was just like, what? Why did we spend 20 minutes with this character that you just decided to kill off?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's usually you don't want to do something like, you know, spend a good deal of time with introducing a character, getting to like them, and then killing them in the very same episode before you actually manage to click with the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, they did.
Usually you need like a whole season before that works.
You need to, otherwise, it just kind of feels flat. It's like, yeah, I just met this guy. Why am I going to care? You know, it's like you could have used that time for something a bit more important to the core story, but they didn't choose not to do that. So yeah, we'll see how they end it next week, because that's going to be the last episode. So looking forward to seeing how they wrap the first season up and where it's going to go from there. Apart from that, the 6th and probably last season of The Expanse started. So I started watching that. Second episode came out yesterday. I haven't had a chance to watch that one yet, so probably after the show I'm going to sit down and get that watched. That, on the other hand, is still as good as ever. I'm feeling like these episodes are getting shorter.
Yeah.
And there's only 6 of them in the season, so... yeah, guys, I don't know how you're going to manage to wrap everything up that's going on with this, you know, pretty expansive story in 6 episodes, but we'll see. You know, maybe they use the game that's Telltale's doing for some of that going forward. So we got that going on. Apart from that, I also watched that Xbox documentary Power On, which was actually surprisingly good. Yeah, they tried not to shy away from the real shitty stuff and stupid things that they did. So, you know, they talked all about the Red Ring of Death, like how they were, you know, legitimately taken aback by it. And it's like, we really were trying to figure it out and it took us way too long. You know, they kind of owned up to it. It was, if you haven't had a chance to watch it and you're interested in the history of Xbox and in particular, like the links that they had to go to actually get that system to even exist. It's definitely worth the watch. I mean, you can, it's free. You can stream it on their YouTube channel. So
from what I heard, Bill Gates, when he first, you know, was originally at first, he was like, oh, it's a nice idea. And then he found out the thing wasn't actually going to run Windows. And then
he flipped his shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a fun there was a whole fun section about that particular incident and how it got resolved. Yeah, so that was worth the watch. Apart from that, well, the weather here has been weird as all fuck. We've had some really high winds. We've lost power a few times, so that's been great. We've had weather go from the 30s to the 70s and then back again in the span of 2 days.
Yeah, welcome to my life.
Yes. Okay, that's not supposed to happen, but, you know, the whole climate change thing, I guess. And it's like, getting kind of hard to deny that climate change is a thing there, guys.
Yeah.
Just saying. So, you know, well, that's been fun going through. But, you know, we were supposed to do some stuff for the holidays. But turns out now that we've got the whole COVID restrictions again, we're just putting all that off again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not happening. And apart from that, I've just been doing some gaming stuff, you know, PC Building Simulator, been playing that, played a bit of Halo Infinite. Well, at least I tried to, got to start it off with the tutorial, and it crashed in the middle of the tutorial, and then I gave
up.
So, that was great. It looks like it might be a fun game if I could ever actually play it, so.
From people I've known who've actually gotten through and played it, they're like, damn, it's like pretty much the best Halo has been in a long-ass time.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm gonna like it. I think the game just got an update like either today or yesterday. So I'll probably try it again and see if they will actually let me get through the tutorial now.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, actually play the rest of the campaign. It'll be fun. Right. And apart from that, I've just been playing some random retro crap. You know, still waiting for my copy of Mega Man: The Wily Wars to get here from Limited Run. Yeah, that's taking a little bit longer than I would have expected, because I ordered it in June.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are some supply issues happening, perhaps. But I think that seems to be the case for just about everything at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully they get that to me the start of the next year, and I'll be able to play that, because I did order it. I would like to actually get it. There's that.
Mm-hmm.
And, apart from that, that's pretty much it. How about you, Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're starting to get some sort of winter's thing going on. I don't know. It's been kind of up and down temp-wise. Like 40s to, I think, around 60 or so at times. Which, you know, is great. Great to have in December. Week before Christmas here, but yeah, that's been kind of some weird stuff. Even had the power go out for whenever I was sleeping.
Mm.
That apparently affected my Series S so hard it forgot all network information. So I had to re-add my router information to it so it could get online. Which is like, how? How does that happen?
Mm.
Especially for how much they tout the sort of power maintenance for that thing. I was like, oh, you can play a game, pause it, unplug the whole thing, and plug it back in. It'll be just fine.
Yeah.
But maybe that doesn't count to any sort of network stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Usually it is, I guess, but
I don't know.
Like, mine has gone through a couple of power outages already, and I think like the worst that's happened so far is I've lost my quick resume slot. That's about it. But
yeah. Yeah, like the usual, it has trouble with external storage stuff. That I have to like unplug or plug back in or whatever. But yeah, the been watching some stuff. Went and saw Spider-Man No Way Home last night. I went after work. Sort of first time going out at a non-matinee time for a movie in quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
That was more just due to the only available time I had for that, and liked it a lot. It's a really well done movie. I'm not going to spoil anything, but the kind of the core conceit is it's about trauma, the trauma of being, you know, Peter Parker, that he has little recourse to really deal with, and then has things you've probably seen from the trailer where other people from other Spider-Man multiverses show up in some interesting ways. And, you know, there's things to deal with about them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even just about, you know, ooh, bad guys, we got to fight them, that kind of stuff. There's sort of more stuff going on in a way as, you know, Peter Parker deals with the fact that everybody knows who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of an interesting story to tell in a way that kind of wraps up a bunch of the Spider-Man stuff that's been done over this course of this MCU trilogy. Mm. So it's a really nice movie and kind of sets things up for things that happen in the future. Kind of gives them a good start to do some new stuff. But yeah, kind of tied to that, watch the newest episode of Hawkeye, which ties into it in an interesting way.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to spoil anything there either, but if you have paid attention to any sort of rumor news about things getting folded into the MCU, maybe there's some ways that that stuff gets tied into it right now. So keep an eye on that. Also been watching The Witcher Season 2.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm 5 episodes in of that, and it seems like they're heading towards things related to The Witcher 3.
Yeah.
As Ciri is brought to the compound where, you know, the Witchers are kind of headquartered at.
Yeah.
And she does some training there in the hopes of being able to deal with the impending doom that seems to be heading their way.
Mm-hmm.
Of sorts. The Wild Hunt has been mentioned a few times.
Yep.
There's a bunch of stuff going on that's pretty interesting. I might end up finishing up this season and restarting from the beginning just to further bone up on everything that's going on there. Because they give you a recap, and I was like, wait, what? This recap is more confusing than just watching season one.
Because
It's been long enough now that I've forgotten certain things. But yeah. Jaskier returns, and he has a fun new song.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. But yeah, that's been a lot of fun to watch. And kind of continuing watching some Christmas stuff, I watched The Muppet Christmas Carol,
mm-hmm.
which is just a classic. Kind of decided to watch this because, for whatever reason, Michael Caine on his Twitter account just tweeted out a picture of the poster for this movie.
Uh-huh.
I assume being like, hey, look at this. This was a cool movie. But I just posted the image. I was like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Congrats on figuring how to do that. But yeah, it's a very fun movie. Very fun kind of musical version of the classic Christmas Carol story.
Mm-hmm.
Still pretty fun the way they handle everything, because there's a lot of puppets in this.
Oh, yeah.
And they do some pretty impressive stuff with that. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun. Looking forward to watching some more things. I guess there's another Muppets Christmas special from a few years ago that I want to check out as well on Disney Plus. But, yeah, let's see. I've been playing some games. The newest one is The Gunk, which is from the team that made SteamWorld Dig and all those SteamWorld games. And it's been pretty fun so far. I did a stream earlier today. Played about an hour and a half or so. It doesn't seem like it's going to be that long of a game. Because by the point that I got to, I was in chapter 4 already. I don't know what the achievements look like as far as how many chapters there are. I think those are all hidden, but I already have like 275 achievement points out of 1,000 for not playing that much of the game. But the core conceit is that you are one of these, like, not really bounty hunters. They're kind of more people that go for scrap kind of stuff, trying to find things to sell for money. And they discover this huge, huge bit of energy that's on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to figure out where it's at, what it is, and then run into this gunk that is all over the place. So you have to use your trusty, like, gunk vacuum, I guess, of a hand machine that you have that's sucks it up and starts, you know, restoring life to the areas that have been gunked up, that kind of thing. So It's pretty nice and chill. There's a little bit of combat, but nothing too intensive. Those creatures are just gunk creatures, so you just suck them up and just shoot them out to somewhere else. And you know, you're scavenging for materials to upgrade your arm machine or abilities or whatever, that kind of stuff. So it seems like a game that's going to just kind of be chill and kind of keep playing until you beat it. So yeah, that's been fun so far. Let's see, I've been playing some more Halo Infinite. I have now gotten out to the Halo itself, the open world areas. Kind of been doing some stuff around there, and yeah, there's not really a lot out there. There's some key spots, and you can just focus on like story stuff if you want, story missions, but you're going to be lacking in some of the upgrade stuff you can find in some of these areas. The side stuff that lets you upgrade your like grappling hook or your armor or some of the other stuff. I think it's probably a lot of the abilities you've seen in the multiplayer, the like extra shield thing you can shoot out, a few other things, the dodge thing that you can get. I don't know how useful those will be, because it seems like the grappling hook is kind of the thing you want to have on you most of the time. So there's that. Yeah, like a lot of things there is just like, go to this area and kill all the enemies, and then it'll be a forward operating base for brains to pop out of. And they'll be like, here's a distress signal. Go here and you kill some guys and free the Marines that have been captured there. Stuff like that. And there's like, here's a super tough enemy. And I went over to one of them. I was like, yep, that's tough. He's invisible and he's got an energy sword. So it's kind of fucked trying to get him. So I'll have to try for one of the others that might be easier. Cause from what I've heard, you beat those guys and you get like special weapons or stuff out of them that can maybe make the rest of the game easier in some ways. But yeah, looking forward to put some more time into that. But yeah, it's like a little bit better than the normal Halo campaigns, just more open. But you're going to have the dead space of, you know, traveling from place to place because there's not really too much else out there. Occasionally run into pockets of enemies, but they're easily dispatched and, you know, nothing really too much to it. And also been playing some more Forza Horizon 5. Had a weird issue yesterday where I was trying to launch the game and it just crashed in the opening. And like the speedometer loading thing at the very beginning, which I had no clue what the hell was going on. So I noticed I had a Windows update. So I was like, okay, we'll do that. And that'll restart the PC as well. And that probably fixes the issue. And yeah, it worked after that. I was like, how did this get to a point where it doesn't work? And that was the same issue with Halo Infinite, where I don't think there was an update. I also think in the PC Game Pass app has the issue where I was on, and I was like, oh, there's a bunch of updates. Like, okay, cool, let's start installing those. And I was like, I wanted to play Forza 5, so I was like, install that one first. And it's like, fuck you, we're not installing it. I'm like, what? But then I just closed the app and opened it again. It's like, oh, there's no update. I'm like, what? You just said there was an update. They said there was 10. Now there's the 3 that I was trying to download and pause to start other updates. So I don't know what the fuck's going on. There's just times where you look at the list of games and you'll see this icon on there. It's like, they use the same icon for there's an update and it's about to leave Game Pass soon. So you got to like hover over and be like, oh, that's for the updates. You got to go click on its page and click updates. And sometimes it's in the install screen. I don't know what the hell's going on. It's just more issues. But that's been most of the stuff I've been doing. So, Brandon, how about you?
Yeah. Well, primarily, other than dealing with the flu crap, I'm still playing Frostpunk, and I think I'm getting better at it now. I've managed to get to the point where, my city is now about as big as the actual cavity that it takes place in. And I've gotten a better at being able to handle resources and coal and stuff. Now I'm trying to focus on like building automatons, which are definitely something you want to do because you can actually get them to do certain jobs that'll alleviate, you know, labor that you can use for other areas. I am also hearing about, apparently there's supposed to be like some nasty superstorm that's supposed to come and hit towards the end of the game that more or less decides whether or not you actually win the scenario. So I've been, you know, busy trying to put in as many heaters as I possibly can before that gets there. You know, just some other stuff as well. And, you know, I honestly, right now, I don't have a whole lot of things to play. Hopefully, by the time we talk again, I will have, you know, more, if not a new console, at least money to get a new console. So, we'll see where that goes. So, in the meantime, I've just been playing a bunch of assorted nonsense that I could download on my PlayStation Now account. Like Duke Nukem Forever, for example, which is a game I have not played in many, many years. Because I, you know, I got that back when it came out, you know, because it was, you know, I mean, that game had been in development for like 12 years. So the fact that that thing was actually going to come out was kind of a big deal. And then it came out and it was a huge flop. And something I found out recently that a lot of people, when that game came out and it was a huge flop, a lot of people kind of blamed Gearbox for it, since, you know, they were the last major developer to get their hands on it. But apparently the original director from 3D Realms has said that it's mostly him, because basically while they were developing that game, he kept trying to add in as many new cool things that were happening in the gaming world as they came out, which is kind of one of the reasons why the game took so long to develop. Which explains why it's so patchworky by the time you actually get to it. It's very much just one of those things where it's like, yeah, this is so much like a thing of its time. So much a thing of its time that its time had gone and passed by the time it actually came out. And It just most people found it crass, mostly, more than anything else. I mean, I will at least say that the gameplay was solid, but everything else was just really stupid. it was a, you know, but really, other than that, dealing with just a shit ton of rain and all that. Yeah, pretty much it. Again, like I said, I'm hoping to get some stuff to talk about next time we're here. Hopefully the holidays will be fruitful this year. Yeah, that's pretty much it. So you guys want to add anything else before we move on?
No, I'm good.
All right. Well then, it's now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And usually around this time of year, I've talked about just all the unusual sort of Christmas time traditions and holiday traditions that happen all over the world. I've talked about, you know, Krampus from Austria. I've talked about the Yule lads from Iceland. I've talked about the Caganeer and Cagatillo from Catalonia. Both of those are just a lot of fun. So I thought we'd sort of bring it all around back and talk about, well, we, you know, because all those are places that have longtime Christmas traditions, because Christmas has been a part of their culture for eons, basically. They've all been part of Christendom for centuries. So their cultures have all developed, you know, unique holiday-centric quirks. But then you have countries where, you know, Christmas is not really that big of a, or it wasn't really that big of a major cultural force, at least until fairly recently. So, whereas Iceland got the Yule lads and, you know, Austria got Krampus, Japan got Colonel Sanders.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, we're all kind of Japanophiles over here on Smash Pad, and if there's one tradition about Japan, about one thing about Japan that we have as far as their traditions go, you get the sort of, you know, ones that are, you know, very much native to them, and then you have the ones that were developed literally because some guy came up with a marketing campaign and it just took off like crazy. And that's basically how what happened with Christmas in Japan. So, obviously, Christianity has always been sort of a minority religion on the Japanese Isles. And because of that, Christmas had always been, for the longest time, kind of a very minor affair, largely, you know, kept to the Christian households, or on occasion, you know, they would have the, you know, the American military soldiers that would be nearby. Well, in 1970, a guy by the name of Takeshi Okawara was the manager of the very first Kentucky Fried Chicken restaurant in Japan. And it was, let's see, I'm trying to remember where it was. Yeah, it was in Nagoya. And KFC at the time, in its first few years, was, I don't want to say that it was like an immediate success, because they definitely had to work at it, but it was an easier time than they figured it would be. By the first couple of years, KFC had managed to become fairly popular in Japan. And of course, by the 1980s, it was just a full-on phenomenon. And of course, KFC in Japan already has its own like unique traditions that are specific to that particular part of the company. One of them, of course, being those big waxy, full-colored statues of Colonel Sanders that you usually find outside of every KFC in Japan. So when KFC first sort of came over, they tried to sort of market themselves as, hey, we're the authentic American restaurant. And, I mean, they're not completely wrong, but, you know, that sort of tying it in as, like, being an American experience was kind of a big deal to sort of how they tied themselves in to their original marketing. And so in the early 70s, when they were starting out, they realized that there are a few things in the world that are more American than Christmas. So Mr. Okawara came up with the idea of promoting what he called party barrels, which were these buckets of KFC that were intended to work as a Christmas meal to serve as a substitute for the traditional turkey. And largely, he originally intended this to be towards the nearby military bases, since, you know, a lot of the soldiers were there. Many of them wouldn't be able to get a turkey this year. He's like, eh, don't worry, guys. I got you a nice chicken over here. And he managed to take this, and it became a huge success. So he told his upper, you know, his superiors in KFC Japan, and they were like, well, this is amazing. We can probably expand on this. So they came up with something in 1974 that they called Kentucky for Christmas, an advertising campaign that specifically ties in Kentucky Fried Chicken to Christmas. It took off like crazy. So much so that to this day in Japan, it is considered to be a absolutely necessary Christmas tradition to eat Kentucky Fried Chicken in the restaurant with your family on Christmas Day. So much so that, you know, just eating the food itself, if you can't eat in the restaurant, you can eat it at home or you can eat it with friends. This tradition is so big that because of this, they actually have to do something that almost no other KFC in the world has to do. They have to give reservations.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. They don't only have to give restaurants reservations, they also have to get specially packaged delivery orders. And all of these have to be placed not days, not weeks, months in advance.
Jeez.
There are people in Japan who prepare their traditional Christmas KFC meals in July, just so that when Christmas time rolls around, they can get ahead of the crowd and they can actually eat at the restaurant. And yes, when you get to the restaurant, they've dressed up the Colonel Sanders statue. He's now wearing his, you know, red Santa Claus outfit. All of the buckets have Christmas-themed imagery on it. They've got Christmas trees set up and wreaths everywhere. All the tables, you know, have the names next to them, you know, reserved for so-and-so. And arguably, you could pretty much give KFC the responsibility for actually making Christmas a bigger thing in Japan than it was beforehand. And that has been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid. I do too. I got some in the freezer. But yeah, it's just one of those things. That's one of the things about Japanese culture I just love. But yeah, so now that that's out of the way, we're moving on to the show proper. As always with the show proper, we start off with our assholes of the week. And our biggest asshole this week is Mother Nature, because she sent down a bunch of tornadoes that decimated large parts of the Midwest from Missouri all the way to Kentucky, with 92 dead and counting as of today.
Yep. Seems like at least the Kentucky area was the hardest hit.
Yep. Whole neighborhoods are just gone.
And luckily, it seems like they have found everybody that was missing and unaccounted for. So luckily, it seems like those numbers will stay at about 78 people killed so far.
Yep.
But yeah, there were others that got hit. In Illinois and Missouri, Arkansas, and some other places that, you know, it was like one of the more powerful tornado storms that we've had ever.
Especially in that part of the country. Don't get me wrong, tornadoes are not something that we in the South are, you know, not used to. We definitely have them. But we tend to not have them as many and as strong as the ones that are, like, out in flyover country.
And this happened in December.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
tornado season is, like, spring and summer.
Yeah. And, I mean, this also, like, followed another day when there was just this enormous gust of wind going down right from the northeast all the way down to the southwest. Just, But, yeah, and if you thought that, you know, all that, like, oh, awful natural disaster with a huge body count couldn't get any worse, oh, yeah, it could, because it turns out Amazon are particular douchebags, because they refused to let a bunch of workers get to safety until it was too late. And, yeah, the tornadoes ended up hitting a warehouse down there, and...
And Illinois killed six people, I think. Luckily, most of them got to the shelter in time, but some people were not as lucky. And there's some fun stories around, especially this one about the delivery driver that was told to keep delivering packages after she reported hearing the tornado sirens. And this dispatcher was saying, you know, the sirens are just a warning.
No.
And it's like,
sirens are not just a warning. If you hear them, you should get to shelter.
Yeah.
And said she told them that she wanted to return to the warehouse to get to safety, to which the dispatcher said, let's see, if you decide to come back, that choice is yours, but I can tell you won't be viewed as for your own safety. The safest practice, stay exactly where you are. And basically said it would ultimately end with you not having a job come tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Which they also had other things for people that worked at that facility and had, you know, shifts scheduled the next day.
Yep.
Which they're like, there's nothing there. And there's all sorts of police and other people working on the area mm-hmm. that maybe weren't letting them near it.
Yeah.
As they, you know, try to clean up and find anybody that maybe was trapped in there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting, you know, responses to the point of saying like, oh, you're going to get, you know, attendance points for not showing up to work. That kind of stuff, which is like, mm-hmm. that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Nobody needs their packages that much that they need those people to put themselves in danger.
Mm-hmm. No.
For this.
Even people yeah.
having to respond to the current Amazon CEO,
mm-hmm.
His tweets about the thing being like, yo, this shit's fucked up. I'm, you know, getting threatened with points because literally my only way to work is blocked by debris.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff.
Hmm.
It's like, maybe you should not be such assholes at this point.
Yeah.
Cause especially like that person had the route blocked, contacted their dispatcher or whatever, and was like, yeah, we don't have records of a tornado hitting in your area. Like, oh, this debris didn't get there by chance.
Like, you want me to send you a picture or something?
Yeah. It's some fucked up shit, and
mm-hmm.
didn't help that at the same time that this stuff was happening that Jeff Bezos' Blue Origins was sending more people up into space.
Mm-hmm. More
celebrities.
Yep.
It's like, this seems like very tone deaf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. What. And then we go all the way over to Hawaii. So there's a U.S. Navy base in Hawaii that had a petroleum leak that contaminated Honolulu's drinking water supply, which has now forced 3,000 military members and family to be relocated. And, of course, that's not even talking about the natives there.
Yep. This has been going on for a while.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people have been complaining about this shit in Honolulu for a long time now. And the base kept saying, no, 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 the water's completely safe to drink.
Yeah, and then recent tests were done that contained petroleum levels that were 350 times the level considered safe.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not great. You're the no. You have the full funding of the military to be making sure everything is safe.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sitting here leaking fuel into the water supply.
Mm-hmm.
For an island nation.
Mm-hmm.
That, some fucked up shit.
Oh, yeah.
I would think you'd want to fix that, though, because, mm-hmm. I mean, if that fuel is getting into the water system, you could actually make use of it. Just saying.
Maybe.
Yeah. They can't spend the money on that, though. They need more planes and
shit that they're never going to use.
Yeah.
So that the contractors can get a big, fat check.
Hmm.
Yeah,
yeah, if you ever wanted to know why our military budget is so bloated, it's because of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not
very little of that money ever actually goes to the actual military. Almost all of it goes to the big weapons contractors.
Yeah, and it's not like Hawaii is a place where natural disasters can't happen.
Mm. Exactly.
Every few years.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's sitting on top of a really nasty volcano.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which occasionally decides to explode.
Yeah. It's still very much active.
Hmm.
Anyway. Now for another group of assholes, which was the January 6th insurrection. Oh, yeah. Speaking of shit that made this dog dick of a year so amazing. Yeah, me getting to watch that happen live on television.
Yeah. And that was 6 days into the year.
Yeah.
Yep.
We didn't even have a new administration yet. But yeah, one of them...
They're damnedest to try to stay in power.
Yeah. Anyway, one of those insurrectionists recently just got the biggest sentence yet of the whole group when he got over 5 years for attacking the police.
Yep. This guy was... So he got a 63-month sentence.
Mm-hmm.
5 years and 3 months there for Robert Palmer. Not that mm-hmm. Robert Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he attacked. See, he was indicted on 8 counts of, but pleaded guilty to a single charge of assaulting police with a dangerous weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he fought police, wearing a red hat, an American flag jacket, mm-hmm. wooden blanket officers protecting the entrance on the Capitol's west side, sprayed a fire extinguisher at a police officer, and then heaved the extinguisher at them. So, you know, a fine, upstanding citizen. At least he, at this point, is aware of what he did and is ashamed of it. Wrote a big statement, handwritten letter saying, let's see, that it became clear that trying to stop the peaceful transition of power, or no, he was saying something like that. It became clear that that Trump and his people were tyrannical ones that were fighting to keep their power, not the people that actually won the election, that kind of thing. Realizing that they had all been hoodwinked by Trump and all of his people into believing that the election was stolen. Shame it got that far that, you know, he was attacking police for it.
Yeah, you know, at least the blinders are starting to come off. So we got that going for us, but still, it's he's not backing down from that point.
Yep.
Yeah. And now for some corporate assholes, Kellogg's. As you don't know, the workers at Kellogg's have been on strike for the last couple months, I think, now. And they were just about getting to reach a tentative agreement with the strikers until there was an email that leaked from corporate that basically admitted that they weren't changing shit and basically called the strikers all a bunch of idiots.
Yep. Yeah, this, let's see, in short, the overall bucket of money, print of these costs stays the same. Just has money from one bucket to another, no overall gain for them, with 3 more weeks of strike and no income.
Yeah.
No ratification bonus. Let's see, I know everyone is tired and tense in the plant. Please try to focus on what we need to do. Please try to keep negotiations talk to a minimum in the plant around the workers, aka the scab workers. Because apparently they were telling them that.
I forgot to mention, they also hired a bunch of scab labor, too.
Yeah, and they told them that there would be a path for permanent jobs there. We're not telling the truth about that.
For what their plans were.
Because they're still planning on shifting a bunch of jobs to Mexico. So, they're a real great company. I think there was a tweet earlier this week of somebody asking, like, why is Kellogg's no longer on the Pop-Tarts boxes? They're like, we've done research and people don't really care about the Kellogg's label on there, so we've, you know, simplified it. It's like, oh yeah, sure, that's what happened there.
Yeah, you just didn't want to deal with the bad press. Yeah,
you want to hide it on the packages you can.
Yeah,
because, yeah. If you want to look up everything Kellogg's makes, it's a lot more than you might think. Not everything is branded Kellogg's either.
Quite big. Like Cheez-Its, for example.
Yeah, which sucks. Yeah. I love Cheez-Its.
Yeah. So I decided to get Cheese Nips.
Yeah, Cheese Nips are good, too.
Yeah. Of course, Cheese Nips are also made by Nabisco, and that's a whole other
crate
of bullshit, but yeah. And finally, for assholes of the week, the House of Representatives voted to hold Mark Meadows in criminal contempt of Congress for refusing to comply with a January 6th committee, even though apparently it looked for a short time he was going to, and then he backed out.
Yeah, and then tried to sue him.
Yeah.
Well, this is going to go well.
Yeah, so this went to the House. They voted to, you know, hold him in criminal contempt. The only sort of downside to this stuff is it's a long process to go through. Like the one for what's his face, Steve Bannon. His trial is until like next summer. So it's like a light slap on the wrist for the time being.
Kicking the cans along the way.
Yeah, so that's our assholes of the week. Though fortunately it's not all bad. We got some heroes of the week to talk about. Here's a really good one. The Food and Drug Administration relaxed restrictions on abortion pills so that they can be mailed to approved patients instead of having to pick it up in person. And I have a reason why they're doing this now.
Yeah. Let's see, this drug, mifepristone, is approved for use in combination with another medication, misoprostol, to terminate pregnancies up to 10 weeks, and sometimes used to treat women experiencing miscarriages. Yeah, before the pandemic, doctors could prescribe the pills only to patients who were able to pick them up in person. But in response to COVID-19, Biden administration suspended that requirement, allowing them to be mailed to patients instead.
Mm-hmm.
And this decision by the FDA makes that permanent.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, this is sort of the result of reproductive rights groups that have successfully sued to suspend the in-person dispensing rule, arguing to expose patients to unnecessary risk from COVID-19. And of course, the Trump administration fought that decision, which allowed the rule to be reinstated. And then the Biden administration stepped in this past April to once again allow patients to receive them by mail.
Mm-hmm.
That's great for these people to be able to get help this way.
And now here's another story. One of those things you don't hear about enough because there was another case that ended up taking up more of the spotlight, but Claudette Colvin, she was a 15-year-old black girl who was arrested back in, I think it was 1955, for refusing to give up her seat to a white person on the bus. And this happened just a couple of months before Rosa Parks did similar and ended up becoming internationally famous because of it. Well, all these years later, Ms. Colvin, who's now 82 years old, has been able to get that arrest expunged from her record.
Yep. That's great news.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, this was a judge granted the request. In a brief court order made public Thursday by a family representative. The case was sent to juvenile court because of Colvin's age and record show a judge found her delinquent and placed her on probation. As a ward of the state pending good behavior, Colvin never got official word that she had completed probation through the ensuing decades, and relatives said they assumed police would arrest her for any reason they could.
The reason a lot of people kind of remember the Rosa Parks case is because hers was kind of, well, it was partly because she was sort of the specific sort of individual that they were looking for, because Rosa Parks was sort of an older school Barbie type lady who had like a, you know, she was, and unfortunately that's just kind of how the years were back then. She was the perfect demographic they were looking for. So it's sort of why her case ends up getting the all the press, but there were a bunch of others that happened before her.
That one led to MLK getting into
the Montgomery bus boycott. Yeah. And now we got a couple of judges to thank as heroes of the week. The first one is a judge who rejected Purdue Pharma's opioid settlement that would have protected the Sackler family.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, U.S. District Judge Colleen McMahon in New York found that federal bankruptcy law does not give the bankruptcy judge who had accepted the plan the authority to grant that kind of release.
Yep.
People who are not declaring bankruptcy themselves. The ruling is likely to be appealed by the company, family members, and the thousands of government entities that support the plan. Purdue spokesperson said Thursday evening that the company was preparing a statement. And representatives of the two branches of the family owned the company did not immediately respond for a request.
Yep.
Or comment.
Yeah. And so that's good because I want the Sackler family to pay out the ass for all the pain they've caused.
Yeah. Some jail time wouldn't be bad either.
Yeah. Jail time too. I would very much appreciate that as well. Then we got this other judge who is allowing Dominion's defamation case against Fox News to continue after declining to dismiss the case.
Yep. So, good job, Fox News.
Yeah.
You fucked around.
They're having a great week.
Oh, they are having just the best week this week. Not only did they lose probably the last, like, actual news anchor on their network, but we now have a bunch of text messages that have come out between them and the Trump administration during the insurrection, where they were utterly terrified, begging these people to stop, and then turning around later on that very day and pretending that none of it ever happened.
Hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, so, yeah, there's, that's going to go through. Now for another one, the U.S. military is officially moving to start dismissing members for refusing to get the COVID vaccine.
Yep. It just seems like it's going to be discharging them.
Yeah. Like, for the record, the actual number of people that have refused to get vaccinated is exceedingly small. Last I checked, 97 to 98% of all military personnel have gotten it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Air Force was the first branch to announce dismissals,
mm-hmm.
saying they had discharged about 27 people as of Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday, the Marines said it discharged 103 mm-hmm. troops. The Army has reprimanded 2,700 soldiers, said it will begin discharge proceedings in the new year.
Mm-hmm.
The Navy this week told commanders to start administrative separations for vaccine refusers.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the Navy has 98.4% of its force fully vaccinated. Air Force is 97.5%. Army says 98%. Have received at least one dose. 96% are fully vaccinated,
mm-hmm.
Which is nearly 500,000 people. 95% of the Marine Corps forces mm-hmm. have gotten at least one shot.
Mm. By the way, for those who are curious, like as far as like the U.S. in general goes, as of the 17th, 73% of the population has received at least one dose, and 62% of the population has been fully vaccinated.
Well, there fully is going to be a floating term, but so it's...
And, yeah, but there was like a noticeable jump early in December once news of the Omicron variant started spreading.
Hmm.
Yeah, I plan on getting my booster as soon as I can.
Yeah, I should be eligible in January, so
yeah,
I'll get that done.
But my prediction of that we were going to get closer to the 70% number of full vaccination by early next year seems to be on track so far.
Yeah, pretty close already.
Yeah. Anyway. Let's see, what else? And finally, New York City's new mayor-elect has picked New York Police Department's first woman to lead as a commissioner.
Mayor-elect Eric Adams mm-hmm. picked, let's see, Nassau County Chief of Detectives, Keechan Sewell, to be the first female commissioner in the New York Police Department's 176-year history.
Mm-hmm.
She'll also be the third black commissioner in the department's history.
Yep.
That's good news. Good. Hopefully she is... up for the job of
mm-hmm.
leading a bunch of man babies.
Yeah. Which is like, well, that's basically the NYPD in the nutshell, isn't it?
Yeah. How dare you criticize us,
mm-hmm.
the biggest police force in the country and probably the
world. Yeah.
Well, now she's your boss, so she can criticize you all she wants.
Yeah. And the only thing holding her back is the policemen's union.
Mm.
Yep.
Anyway, Well, with that out of the way, it's now time to move on to the proper show proper. And unfortunately, we do have a celebrity death to talk about. Rest in peace, noted author Anne Rice, who passed away this week from complications from a stroke at the age of, I think it was 82?
80.
80, yeah. Absolutely. Never get these right. But yeah, she...
Interview with a Vampire.
Interview with the Vampire Lestat. She was surprisingly super prolific. She basically gave birth to the whole urban fantasy genre as we know it.
Yeah. And added more nuance to the vampire genre.
Yeah. She, like I said, yeah, she wrote a bunch of other stuff. And almost all of them took place in New Orleans. She is heavily, you know, sort of responsible for sort of turning New Orleans into goth country, more or less.
Hmm.
yeah, it's sad, but, you know, she left behind a real career. She kind of lost it towards the end after her husband died. I don't know how many people remember this. She, when her husband died, she went a little loopy, and she became a bit of a religious fanatic. Basically disavowed all of her previous vampire work. Said she was only going to write Christian books from now on. That didn't last for very long. She also was notoriously cantankerous when it came to stuff like fan fiction. And she's also like the only individual I know of who actually like wrote a review of one of her own books specifically to criticize the other reviewers on the website. She did that on Amazon. But yeah, she was definitely a major deal. She was like one of the first major cult writers that I remember hearing about, who had just a massive cult following all her own. And, you know, like I said, when you think of like the modern urban fantasy, you know, genre as we see it now, where it's largely populated with like vampires and werewolves and stuff in a contemporary setting, you can pretty much thank her for it. Yeah. She got the ball rolling. So, you know, especially, you know, I mean, just look at how much influence she had on like the Vampire the Masquerade, for example. That, you know, like that whole game took a huge amount of initiative from the lore that she started with Interview with a Vampire. So, yeah. It's sad. Also, it's important to point out that she was one of the first major writers to have a canonically queer and asexual protagonist in her books. Lestat, in particular, being a major example. So, you know, for a lot of young queer writers, she's a major inspiration. So, yeah, it's sad to see her go, but she left a hell of a legacy behind her. But, yeah. Okay, so, moving on from there. In other news, Gavin Newsom, governor of California, has announced that he's going to use the Texas abortion law as a framework to craft an assault weapons ban.
Pretty sure that's not what they expected when they put that into effect.
No, so just to remind everybody who doesn't know about the abortion law in Texas, but basically they put in a law that effectively bans all abortion after, what is it, I think like
6 weeks.
6 weeks, yeah. But what they did, the way they went about it is instead of directly prosecuting people for it, they basically set up a bounty system. It almost immediately backfired against them, by the way, because the first couple of people that decided to actually take advantage of it were actually pro-abortion people who were specifically trying to challenge it. So, yeah. And now Governor Newsom is using it to try and craft an assault weapons ban.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's see. Yeah, last Friday, the U.S. Supreme Court allowed the Texas law to remain in effect while abortion clinics sue to block it. That decision incensed Newsom. So he has directed his staff to work with the state's legislature and his Democratic attorney general to pass a law that would let private citizens sue to enforce California's ban on assault weapons. He said people who sue could win up to $10,000 per violation plus other costs and attorney's fees against anyone who manufactures, distributes, or sells an assault weapon in California. The most efficient way to keep these devastating weapons off our streets is to add the threat of private lawsuits. We should just do that. So, yeah.
Yeah, pretty strong way of going about it, I'd say.
It's one of those weirdly sort of obscure parts of law. A lot of people don't realize. Like, did you know that the President of the United States can actually write letters of marque, which can authorize privateers? Well, It's that weird little part of archaic gray law that still technically works. So,
yeah.
But, yeah. We'll see what he does with it. And now, some Fox News news. Chris Wallace has left to join CNN's streaming service. which basically means that their last actual, you know, news anchor has left the network for good.
Yeah. So now all they have left is crazies and weirdos.
They have talking heads. That's all they have left now.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's going somewhere where nobody will ever see him again.
Yeah.
Because I don't think anybody cares about CNN Plus.
Yeah.
But he says his next adventure will let him go beyond politics to all the things I'm interested in.
Yeah.
So no idea what that actually means, but...
It means he doesn't have the Murdochs breathing down his neck anymore.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How much you want to bet in the next year or so he's going to book, going to have like a tell-all coming out?
No, probably. And, well, he got signed to the streaming service, but I wouldn't be too surprised if he ends up on the main channel anyway.
Probably.
You know, it's not that big of a jump to get there.
Yeah. And, yeah, that's now we're going to, you know, see Fox News kind of devolve into, well, we'll see, I guess.
Oh, can't get much, you know, no. I was going to say it can't get much worse than it is, but yes, it can.
All right, and now we got some tech news. There is a Log4j exploit found that affects nearly everything written in Java.
Yeah, this is a wild thing, especially because it was made public through Minecraft.
Uh-huh, because of course it would. That's the world we live in now.
Yeah. It's something that kind of been known about in the sort of security sector for a bit. But sort of the first sense that sort of the general public knew that there was something weird going on was through the post on the Minecraft site saying, like, yeah, this is a very dangerous exploit that has been found. Please make sure you update your game.
Mm-hmm.
All that kind of stuff, because it apparently lets people that are able to exploit this to essentially do whatever they want with the person's computer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, RCE, remote code execution. That's one of the worst things you could possibly get.
Yeah. And Java's in a lot of stuff. Doesn't necessarily have to be just a Java program, but a lot of programs use Java just for basic things they do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a very big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I made sure, like, you know, when I got the news of this, I was like, check the servers. Like, oh, wait a minute, I don't have Java installed on there.
Mm-hmm.
The WordPress and stuff doesn't need it, so I didn't install it. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, they say here, let's see. Yeah, researcher working for the Chinese tech firm Alibaba discovered the bug. Mm-hmm. Informed the Apache Software Foundation, which is an all-volunteer corporation that develops and maintains open-source software. And yeah, it spilled into public view when Minecraft made its disclosure, and the researcher posted about it online. So yeah, this the researcher discovered that a hacker could send a message to this logger that the Java language uses. From anywhere in the world through the internet, giving commands that would give the bad actor full access to take over the device. And yeah, it's pretty easy to do.
Yeah.
If you're not active in making sure any sort of Java stuff you have is updated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you don't, but if you have been keeping up to date with your Java stuff and keeping your Minecraft updates, you're probably already okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because it looks like this disclosure happened after the fixes had already gone out.
Yeah. So it probably affects a lot of, like, server stuff, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
The stuff that doesn't get updated as often as it should.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, yeah. But basically, it's like, I mean, it's in the Java runtime itself.
Yeah.
Which is, like, you should be updating this, but let's put it this way. There's, like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Approach to doing server work, which I can totally understand because I have run into issues where I do an update and it breaks the entire fucking server and I have to spend 6 hours getting it fixed again.
Mm-hmm.
So I can kind of understand why people would be hesitant to install updates. But for a Java runtime, usually that doesn't break everything. So you should be able to just update all that stuff and keep
be safe.
Yeah. Yeah, so hopefully the people that are paid to keep an eye on this stuff have been paying attention.
Yep. I mean, even like the sites, providers like Cloudflare and stuff have been sending out emails about it. And it's like, hey, guys, if you got Java on your things, you might want to update your shit.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's see what else. Craft. So one other thing that was oh so great about this year, supply chain issues. The supply chain issue, by the way, that we all knew was coming and did very little to actually try to work with it. Now, Kraft is now willing to pay people $20 to not buy cream cheese for their desserts. Just so they can make sure to have a steady supply for people's bagels.
Yeah, this is a whole wild thing, but yeah, they want people to try to make other things for their holiday desserts.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, you know, cheesecake or whatever. So yeah, they own the Philadelphia brand. Let's see. The Spread the Feeling promotion runs from, yesterday, Friday, to January 4th. But dessert devotees will have just 2 days to try to claim a spot. They say that 10,000 online reservations will open at noon Eastern time on Friday, and another 8,000 will become available at noon the next day. Customers who manage to snag a reservation will get a one-time use link. They can then buy any dessert or dessert ingredient from a store or restaurant between Friday and December 24th. Use that link to submit their dated receipt for reimbursement by the end of January 4th. And they'll receive their $20 reward in 2 to 4 weeks. It's like a rebate of sorts, I guess.
Mm.
That is interesting, but it kind of reeks to me of them just marketing on the entire supply chain problem.
Probably.
Yes, I know it is a problem, but yeah, this just kind of seems a bit much.
Mm. All right.
Which I don't even really get the big deal about cheesecake. I've never had cheesecake.
So I don't really either. Yeah, I've had cheesecake. I never really liked it all that much.
I'd rather just have cake or ice cream cake.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, ice cream cake. Yeah. If there are supply shortages for my ice cream, then I'm going to have some serious issues here.
Yes, then there will be blood in the streets. There is.
Cow blood.
Yeah.
But so far, we're all right.
And now for some science news. The millipede. Millipedes, of course, are famous for having many, many, many legs. And the new world record was found in Australia this week with over 1,300 legs. Yes, they counted.
Yeah. The weird thing is millipede means 1,000 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And the previous record had been 750 legs.
Mm-hmm.
So that seems misleading advertising there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, when they actually named it, they probably didn't bother counting all of them.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that looks like 1,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's just go off this metric, centi and milli.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this one was found in Australia, newly discovered. Millipedes Persephone has a total of 1,306 legs, nearly twice as much as what the previous record was. Mm-hmm. That millipede was first described in 1928, but was long thought extinct until being found alive in California by Virginia Tech entomologist Paul Merrick, the lead author of the latest paper.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. 8 specimens were collected over several months, beginning last year at depths of 15 to 60 meters down in the drill hole created for mineral exploration in the goldfields Esperance region of Western Australia.
Mm-hmm.
They put what is called a trog trap in the drill holes, baited with decaying material that is very attractive to millipedes. What brought to the surface was a millipede that was initially estimated to have around 800 legs. That's when he sent the specimen to Merrick for further examination and more accurate leg count. So literally, he couldn't even do the count himself. He's like, send it to the top scientists to count that much.
That's probably too damn small.
Yeah. The scientists publishing in Scientific Reports described the largest specimen as a pale, thread-like creature just under a millimeter wide.
Mm-hmm.
330 segments, a cone-shaped head with enormous antenna, and a beak for feeding.
Mm.
So, yeah.
That's a lot of legs.
And I guess the hatchlings start with just four pairs of legs and get much more as they keep growing.
Yeah, let's see. And some other science news. The Parker Solar Probe, which is a solar probe from NASA, is the first known spacecraft to have actually entered the sun's atmosphere.
Yep. They entered the upper atmosphere, known as the corona, for sampling particles and magnetic fields. Saying not only does this milestone provide us with a deeper insight into the sun's evolution, its impacts on our solar system, but everything we learn about our own star also teaches us more about stars and the rest of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yeah, they have used the Parker Solar Probe to conclude that some magnetic zigzags in a solar wind known as switchbacks originate on the sun's surface. In turn, the solar wind influences conditions on Earth. Yeah, the first passage through the corona, which lasted a few hours, is just one of many that are planned for the mission.
Mm.
The next flyby is expected to occur in January.
Mm. Are they going to go any further down, or are they just going to just fly around the upper atmosphere?
So it's able to travel so close to the sun, about 6.5 million miles away at one point, because it can withstand temperatures of more than 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure. It might be in the plans.
They're going to need something a bit more heat shielded for to go deeper than that. Actually in there.
So. That might be a thing they do at the end.
Hmm.
To be like, oh, let's see what happens as it gets closer.
It melted. Okay.
Hmm. Yeah.
I kept sending the message, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you.
Yep.
Yeah, this would be the part of the sci-fi story where the aliens that have been hanging out in there, particularly the Phyros, figure out that we're here and we pissed them off, and then they decide to eradicate us.
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you play Outer Wilds, there's a station that literally hangs out like right outside the sun and trying to land on it's fucking hard as hell.
Mm-hmm.
It is zipping around the sun pretty fast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And let's see, what do we got? Oh, yeah. Now we're in the entertainment part of the show. And the first one is Jay Johnston, the character actor who voices Jimmy Pesto in Bob's Burgers. Is it Jimmy Pesto or Jimmy Pesto Jr.?
Jimmy Pesto,
yeah. He's been fired from the show because it turns out he was caught attending the Capitol insurrection.
Yeah, that's a very Jimmy Pesto thing to do.
Yeah.
Which has prompted Bob's Burgers fans to post many memes.
Yeah.
Now like, I knew it.
Now, it's important to say very quickly that it hasn't been confirmed by Fox executives. It also hasn't been confirmed by Johnston himself, and the FBI has not charged or arrested him. But that said, multiple former co-workers and castmates have voiced their certainty of Johnston's attendance in the months following the FBI's first photo release of, quote, suspect number 247. Cassandra Church, who's one of the voice actors, said, I'm no detective, but I do know Jay. He said he was there, and that's him in the picture. So, Tim Heidecker wrote that he had Johnston's attendance fully confirmed through reliable sources, although he's soon cautioned he shouldn't be used as some kind of official source of information or verification.
So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, that whole January 6th thing is not really good for your career.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're going to politics, then it's great.
Yeah. Say, for example, you're the rhythm guitarist and band leader of a certain heavy metal band that suddenly showed up there. Yeah.
Yeah, that happened.
Uh-huh.
It was Iced Earth.
It was John Schaefer. And let's be honest, we weren't really surprised.
Not in the slightest.
No, because if you've paid any attention to John Schaefer and his work, you know that he kind of went a bit off the rails after 9/11 happened. Mm. And, well, I mean, just look at Iced Earth's last album, and you'll be like, yeah, I can totally see him doing this. But, yeah. And now we got ourselves a couple of trailers to round out the show. We got a trailer for Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah, yeah. This looks like it's a lot of fun.
It's a lot to take in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Michelle Yeoh with a bunch of other actors in there. That looks like a really interesting movie. It comes out March 25th, 2022.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, very much like this woman who like works in an office somehow gets her consciousness split between two realities.
Mm-hmm.
And then is able to, I don't know, is going on, but she's able to like learn moves in the one universe to fight people in the other.
Mm-hmm.
In ways that nobody expects.
Mm-hmm.
Because they think she's, oh, this is this old woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she kicks people's asses, so it looks pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd watch this.
Yep.
Yeah. And finally, we got a trailer for The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, also known as Nick Cage Makes Fun of Nick Cage.
Yeah, it's the movie where Nick Cage plays his greatest role, Nick Cage.
Yep.
Hmm.
Yeah, this is out April 22nd. Features a bunch of people you probably know. Neil Patrick mm-hmm. Harris, Tiffany Haddish, Pedro Pascal, and a bunch of others. There's a good bit later on where they're trying to escape from this place. And Nick Cage is like climbing this wall. And Pedro Pascal is like trying to grab onto him to pull himself over. And he falls over and they realize, oh, we could have just gone around the wall.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what the hell the ultimate point of this whole thing is, but...
I think the point is that Nick Cage like no longer gives a shit and he can do whatever he wants at this point.
Yeah. Somebody it's pretty much shown that he's so aware of the joke now that he completely and fully embraces it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And makes it work. So,
yeah.
You know.
The literal trailer makes fun of pretty much what Cage's career has been the last 15 years or so. Yeah. After he had his major bankruptcy issue and basically had to do whatever he could to outrun the IRS.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems to be part of the plot here. As it says, Nicolas Cage stars as Nick Cage in the action comedy The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. Creatively mm-hmm. unfulfilled and facing financial ruin, the fictionalized mm-hmm. version of Cage must accept a $1 million offer to attend the birthday of a dangerous superfan, Pedro Pascal. Things take a wildly unexpected turn when Cage is recruited by CIA operative Tiffany Haddish and forced to live up to his own legend, channeling his most iconic and beloved on-screen characters
mm-hmm.
in order to save himself and his loved ones. With a career built for this very moment, the seminal award-winning actor must take on the role of a lifetime, mm-hmm. Nick Cage. Though they keep spelling it with a K, N-I-C-K.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not
that's
how it's spelled. Mm-hmm. It's just N-I-C.
Yeah.
But maybe that's...
That's part of the joke.
Yeah.
But yeah. I do believe that we've got ourselves a show, folks.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Now we can have some fun for the holidays, hopefully.
Yeah, and we can give this year the giant middle finger it deserves.
Yeah.
On its way out. So... I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you got a question, comment, or something you want us to read on the air, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got links for it in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. So, with that, this will be our closing show of the year. The next time you hear us will be on the other side at the very beginning of 2022. In the meantime,
we'll be alive.
We'll be alive. We're not, you know, this isn't like some kind of weird like mass suicide pack that we're talking out here. From all of us here at Smash Path, we thank you for listening to us as often as you do. If you liked what you heard, or you have a friend who liked what you heard, well, share it with your friends, or hell, even your enemies, because they may hate you, but they may like us, and, well, doesn't that make the world go round? And, so with that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Filippo D'Anofo and Chris Elogi, say good night, have a good, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, does Ramadan happen this time of year? I don't know, but
I think it's more in the spring or summer.
Probably. Have a very Merry Christmas and a very happy year. And please be safe, because we're probably going to have another wave soon, and I would very much like it that none of our listeners end up in the hospital. So, good night, and we'll see you guys on the other side. Later.